It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It's always a good day when I can have a guest on and we can have a candid conversation about death. One of those topics that a lot of people do not want to face or talk about or shy away from. But we love to explore it because I think it's a cool topic because it's something that every single individual on the planet is going to have to experience. And that's something you can't really say about every other experience. So my guest today is Rick Tobin, from disaster management to metaphysician, paranormal enthusiast. He's a remote viewer. What the heck is that? A gifted psychic. And he has his own podcast called Destiny Echoes. Please welcome Rick Tobin to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, Rick, what is a remote viewer? Just right off the top, I'm looking over your resume and I'm like, remote viewer, what does that mean?
Well, it allows someone with or without training. And for those who have been trained specifically in remote viewing, I know your backbone is twisting right now. But this skill is something that has existed throughout mankind's history. It allowed us as ancient beings, when we were living in caves and before, to be able to see where our relatives were, our friends, perhaps where wildlife was we were going to hunt. And it's a way for us to see, as we say, over the horizon beyond us, perhaps into the past, perhaps into the future, or a distance from where we are right now. And that's nothing totally unusual once we understand the basis for it. In quantum physics, we say that all things are connected simultaneously, past, present, and future. And once you tap into that, which we call the Matrix, long before the movie The Matrix came out, once you are inside of that, to say, magnificent universe of all things, not necessarily the Akashic record, but the universe of all things, you can travel through those routes and find information, track down valuable insights that make your life better and perhaps for other people as well. That's remote viewing. You don't travel physically, but you travel through this matrix that allows you to tap into that information.
What do you say to someone that says to you that there is nothing after this life experience, that we literally fade to black and it's game over?
Well, each person has a perspective, just like looking into a mirror. When we look at a mirror, each person sees something different in the mirror than perhaps you see in their reflection. They may look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm too large, I'm too small, I'm too thin, I'm too tall, I'm too short, whatever. That is their perspective. But the mirror does not change. The mirror existed before you stood in front of it, and it will be there after you leave it in your visage. So for those who say there's nothing there, that's a perspective, and I can only tell you from my own personal experience that there is a transition that occurs in matter and in energy, but it does not disappear. You do not disappear as an individual, as an entity. You simply are transformed. And you can deny that, just like you can deny that there's gravity. You can deny that water flows. You can deny that we need oxygen. That's fine, but in reality, what you believe and what actually happens may be totally different, just like looking in that mirror. From my personal experience, what I've seen in my mirror of reality is memory of past lifetimes, memories of passing through the portals, as some people call it, the circle of light, going through it in this lifetime, having a near-death experience, and finding out that there's love on the other side, it's always around us. Those are experiences that have translated to me that we have a continued existence. And through contacts with other people who have had similar experiences, with contacting relatives who continue to be around me, even after their passing, who have contacted me and helped me and so forth, I must stay with the vision that I have seen, and that is that we are not transient beings that just simply disappear like the dust. We have a destiny. We have a creative spark within all of us, and that continues on. That spark cannot be put out, and that's my perspective for them. I hope that they have less fear in their life, that this is transitory only and they just disappear, but only experience and a sense of wonder can possibly change that.
Okay. When did you first realize that you had this psychic ability? Like, at what age were you, and was there any fear attached to it, or did you just say, okay, this is just who I am?
Well, I didn't recognize that I had any of these kind of skills. I always wanted to look at other people and study them and read about them and so forth. Even though other people recognized it in me to a certain degree, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I would walk over to the local schoolhouse in the tiny little town where my family was at the time in the Dakotas. And they used to call me the professor because I would walk in and start telling them about past history, the way things were, how things really worked and so forth. And they would just, my aunt, who was a teacher at the time there, just kind of spun her eyes like, what? So they used to call me the little professor. I studied other people, and I thought other people had all these skills, and I thought it was wonderful, and I went to see people who had these skills. I met, actually, when I was in high school, someone who was in the Ryan studies, or Dr. Ryan studies for parapsychology, and he had informed me that I had this future, and I said, yeah, right. I'm more interested in what you have and so forth. Well, until I was in a session in Madison, Wisconsin in 1974, downtown on State Street. And those of you who know what State Street is, you know how crazy it was in those days. It was a session of meditation and learning how to do meditation. And I tried that for years. It didn't work for me. So we're sitting in a room with about 25 people. And we're all supposed to have this meditative session and then come back and tell people what we saw. Well, when I was in that session, and all the people were in the room, I'm sitting there, okay, emptying my mind. I can't really do that. I see this big flashing red number 4. It looked like the Fantastic Four, you know, the flaming 4 in the air. And I'm going, okay, that's cool. And I just kind of grabbed it. So we get through, and everyone's talking about what they saw. You know, I saw God. I saw a rainbow. I was at peace and all this. And they get to me, and they go, what about you? And I'm kind of in the first row at the end. And I go, well, I saw this big number 4, this big flashing red 4, and I just kind of grabbed it. And the guy in the back of the room got up and started screaming and yelling at me, you took that out of my brain, and then used some expletives and so forth and left the session.
Oh, my.
And I went, what was that all about? And after the meeting was over, the people who were running the meeting said, we'd like you to stay for a while. And I said, why? I don't understand. And over a period of a year working in a communal setting and going through a lot of training with these people and so forth, I opened up and realized these things that I'd always studied in other people, I actually had them within me, and I didn't realize it.
Wow.
And it was kind of an awakening, and a lot of other things came to pass after that, some realizations about other things that had happened to me as a child and so forth, that it just, as they say, it cracked the egg, the cosmic egg around me. And so, and I became capable of so many areas in the psychic field. It just, like, it was a plethora, boom, suddenly. So that's what opened it up for me, where I had a realization. I wouldn't recommend that for everybody. It's kind of like a shocking thing to go through, like boot camp, but it worked for me.
What about contact and connecting with our loved ones that have passed, you know, because I'm a big fan. I'm really open. I have many conversations with all kinds of people that, you know, some that I know intimately and some that I've never met. When people pass or I read an obituary or I hear a story, I instantly will say a little prayer and say that person's name and tell them it's okay. And I don't even know why I do that, but it comforts me. And I really I enjoy it. You know, I'll never forget when Robin Williams, when he passed away, it was devastating because I felt like he was a good friend, even though I'd only seen him on TV and in movies. But I instantly started speaking to him and lit a candle for him. And some people think that's nutty, but for me, it's comforting. So what do you do as far as those that have crossed over and your communication?
Well, I am a human, except for those times when I recognize the fact that I'm not from here. The bottom line is we all go through a sense of loss if we have any humanity at all. And that sense of loss is handled differently by each person. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, about going through that period of sensing that the person isn't there with us. And sometimes we are connected with people on a larger scale that we may never have met. I would be the first to say when someone is struck in a car accident, people put out flowers and they go there. They aren't there most of the time, not to be pictured on camera or whatever. They feel a loss for that person. Mm-hmm. And that is a human experience. Now, on the other side of connecting with people who have passed over the other side, we know that there are a number of mediums and psychics, many of them who I know who are reliable, who have a connection to someone who has passed over, that consciousness that is still there. Sometimes those who have passed before us remain vigilant around us, who care about us, who can be contacted fairly easy. Sometimes they just never show up. For me, it was a surprise. My mother was a mystic and studied many of these things and ascended masters and so forth. When she passed, I just lost connection. It really surprised me. And my father, who was not in that area at all, was very down to earth and against all those kind of things. I've had longer connections with him and more often than anyone who has passed on the other side. And actually, he saved my life more than once by things he's come and told me in my sleep and my visions. And I could go into more detail on that, but I would also say that people have actually sensed him around me when they didn't realize he was there, including I was in a hospital once for many things I've had. And the nurse came rushing in and said, "You got to quit smoking in here." And I said, "Do you smell smoke?" Well, my father smoked like 3 packs of Marlboros a day.
Wow.
And I could always tell when he was around because I could smell the cigarettes.
Wow.
And so she came in and she was really, you know, adamant. I said, "I'm not smoking." And I saw her name tag and I noticed she was Irish. And I said, "Do you have an Irish family background?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I saw your name." And I explained to her about my father's smoke and everything else and what she was smelling. And she left the room. Her face turned red and she left. She never came back. She had to send a different nurse in. So it isn't just me sensing that sometimes. Those who've passed sometimes comes with a smell of a flower or a touch on the face, or they move things sometimes that were connected with them, like a necklace or a piece of vase or something, or they'll change the electric bulb around you. You'll see a little flash and so forth. So there are recognitions that someone is still around you, helping out and still looking out for you. Now, to me, again, for the person who said there's nothing there, I'm sorry. If people are coming and visiting me and helping me on this side, that should be more reinforcement that they didn't disappear. They're continuing to be there.
Right.
But why some connect with us and some don't, I can't explain that. They go on to do other things. You know, my belief in reincarnation and so forth, perhaps they've already come into another life form. They're already reborn. I don't know. But I do know that there is proof of further existence and how they connect with us.
Yeah, the great recycling program. You just never know, you know, and that's what the most beautiful part of this is, the great mystery of it all, because, you know, I don't know anything. I just have an intuition and a feeling. And I love the way that I process and the way that I think about death. I really embrace it. To me, it's really quite beautiful, because I think that we just continue on in whatever form that is. I'm not sure. But, you know, I guess it'll all be abundantly clear once I cross. But then, you know, who knows from there? So it's a very, very interesting concept about death. What about legacy and the things that we leave behind? Is that important to you? And have you prepared for that? Have you prepared, you know?
Well, my son always gets upset with me when I tell this story. I said, look it, I want two tattoos. I want one on my right wrist that says Rick Tobin, because some mornings I wake up and I can't remember who I am. And I said, and I want one on my left wrist, so in case I don't wake up, it says this side up. And he gets all that. That's used for my stand-up comedy routine, and it is copyrighted. But the bottom line is, I've told people I don't plan to have a gravesite. I don't want a headstone. They said, well, what would you put on? And I said, well, if I had a headstone, it would say, why are you here? I'm not.
Right.
And that's basically it. I'm not going to be here. You know, the body's cremated. I'm gone and all that. The legacy that we leave behind us, I personally believe, is the legacy of love for others that we have done in service, and that continues on, and that's a powerful memory. And everybody says, well, I want to be remembered forever. How about the memory of those people who you've helped, and that memory of that moment when you helped them get over some tough things in life, some times when they needed just a kind word, when you helped to tie the little girl's shoe even though you were on to a business meeting and you took the time? Those are the things that you leave as a legacy, because those are remembered on the other side. And this is where I want to talk to those people who believe there's nothing. Believe me, when you go through the tunnel and there is a review of your life, nothing is forgotten. That is your legacy. Everything you did, thought, saw, and the repercussions of those events are all shown before you. And that is something that comes with your spirit and continues on with you. It's part of your written book of who you are as an existing being. So if you want to look for an everlasting legacy, remember, it's written in the stars and the dust already in the quantum existence. It didn't go away. You didn't go away.
Right. What about the concept of hell? You know, a lot of people, going to go to heaven, whatever. And there is a fair amount of people that believe in this punishment after this life, which I'm curious, what do you think?
There is, of course, ancient beliefs in an underworld, a place below us, where people go, where there is, whether you cross the river Styx and you're bound there, part of that is tied into a whole thing about lava and volcanoes and part of our existence living in caves deep in the earth at times when the earth was struck before by great things and people experienced heat and so forth. As far as the soul, the spirit of an individual going to a place where they will be tortured forever, I'm sorry, I just have never bought into that concept. It doesn't make sense with anything I've seen when I went on the other side. Now, I know that a soul that has done terrible, awful things, that they're going to go through the judgment process. And I'm sorry, it's painful. And you can become earthbound. Now, that's when you refuse to leave the earth, you're so bound here and so forth. Well, eventually, you're going to go through the recycling program and something will happen, you'll be released. But this thing about you're going to be thrown into everlasting pit and you're going to be lost between worlds because you committed suicide or you were a baby who died in birth and all that. No. That's all to get people in a fear mode. I'm going to say something that's going to offend some people now, and I'm sorry if it offends you. But those who keep telling you to fear God and to fear this tribulation that's going to happen to you is a way of mind control. It controls you so you will continue to listen to them, believe that they are the middleman, and please give us your dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but it is a marketing scheme.
Yeah.
And you are tied to the Almighty. period, at all times. You don't need someone telling you how you're going to work with the Almighty or where it's going. You're part of that structure, and you always will be. So hell is out for me. I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Except traffic in L.A., and that's pretty close to it.
That is indeed hell. Actually, I just visited hell recently. My husband and I went to Grand Cayman, and there's a little teeny tiny spot in Grand Cayman called hell. And it's the most bizarre thing, Rick. There's like these lava stalactites coming up from the ground, or is that stalagmites? Anyway, these spears of lava are coming up from the ground only in this teeny tiny little place called Hell, Grand Cayman. And they have a post office, little teeny tiny post office, so you can send people a postcard from Hell. And it's really fascinating because the island itself is gorgeous, and white powder beaches, and the Caribbean just rolls up, and it's great for snorkeling and diving. And then there's this spot where supposedly Christopher Columbus went, and he said, if there is a hell, it looks just like this. It's fascinating. I'll have to send you a picture of it because I was really amazed by this formation and why it was made like that. And I took a picture of the explanation of it. But anyway, so there is hell, and it's on Grand Cayman. And there's also a Hell, Michigan, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth because I've been to Hell, Michigan.
And that's so funny because they have music festivals, and the Harley Davidson guys, you know, they go there every year. There's a big Harley festival in hell. So anyway, so it does exist. I'm just not sure about the mythological hell that has people burning. And yeah, I personally believe that it's a fear-based thing to try to keep us in line while we're here. And maybe that's against how I was raised and whatever, but you know, my folks did not say you better behave or you're going to hell ever. We were not raised in fear. We were raised in love. And I think that there's a big difference there in your faith. All right. So this paranormal side, I know you're an enthusiast. I know that you have this show called Destiny Echoes. Let's talk about that for a moment and some of the things that you've experienced. We only have like a couple minutes left. So just, you know, give me some of the highlights of what you're going through with this new show.
The bottom line for me was I wanted to reach out for people. I came out of, as my friends say, I came out of the psychic closet because I've protected my background and my history in this field for many decades because of my security clearances and everything in the work that I did. But there is a time and place, and we can't spend a lifetime in special mystical schools and so forth to get ready for what's coming. The next 10 years are going to be critical as multi-dimensions start colliding with each other, interacting with each other, even more so than they have been for over 12,000 years. We are seeing this now. Scientists know what the multiverse is, the multiple dimensions that are occurring, and we're seeing them come closer and closer in our relationship with our environment. People are seeing the shadow people. People are disappearing in front of other people. Just, they're gone. People are having planes, ships, and other devices simply disappear. I don't want to get into all those stories of what's going on. There's these time warps, these parallel portals that people can walk into, and suddenly they're in a different time, place, or location. And these things are becoming more common. And this is something I want people to be prepared for because, as I've said in a recent show, and I've talked about that, the thing about the Day of the dead will rise out of the graves. I've tried to get rid of people ready that it isn't that their bodies are going to come out. We're going to start seeing the spirits around us on a regular daily basis that are there all the time. And that's going to freak people out. And people need to be ready for these changes. They're coming. It's a rebirth, and rebirths have risks, and they can be very rewarding. So I want people to know that they're not going crazy because they're seeing all these things and experiencing them. It's part of the transition and evolution of our world as we come in contact with other dimensions. That's what the show is all about.
Cool. Where can we find Destiny Echoes?
Well, Well, Destiny Echoes has a website, which is destinyechoes.com, but it's not HTTP, it's HTTPS in front of it.
Okay.
So, but Destiny Echoes is available. It has all of our previous shows on it, and it talks about the new shows that are coming up and other things that I offer there and information. So I'm hoping that it will help people. Again, it's to reach out and keep people from going into, let's just call it dimensional shock in the next 10 years.
Well, I am thrilled that you came back on the show. It's always a pleasure to speak to you because it's I learn and I'm always fascinated to find out more. So thank you, Rick Tobin. The Next Room is forever changed when you come on. And I really appreciate you sharing your point of view and your insights into what is next. So thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Jane, and blessings to all of those who are listening. Be at peace and know that love is around you at all times. Learn to live and love that and accept it, and our world will be better overnight.
Great way to end the show. I'll talk to you next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.